Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It is wonderful to be back among you today because that means everything went well. Joshua had his surgery. He is recovering at home. They tell him his brain needs rest, and I tell him, stop being such a wuss. Brain surgery is not that big of a deal. But he's doing really good. He's still dealing with a little pain, and he thought all the attention that he would get because you guys are so sweet would be a little hard on him this morning. So he'll be among us next week, and I'm looking forward to being here with us. So praise God for all that he's done. Continue to pray for my son, that this treatment would actually be effective, that he would be, that it would help control these seizures so that he can get back to his life. Thank you so much for all of that, folks. I can't tell you how much it means to me that you guys pray for my boys so well. Let us begin our service today. And to begin the service today, we have a recognition of a baptism. Now, recognition of a baptism is a little different than a baptism, right? We believe in one baptism, that Jesus is, or God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives baptism power. And if God is the one who does an act, it's done the first time. It doesn't need to be redone, right? And so this little baby, little Silas, has been baptized. But since, not Emily, Stephanie. They know me well enough not to be offended. Anyway, but the thing is that Stephanie is a daughter of our congregation. We love her so much, and we love her baby as well. And we want to recognize the baptism of little Silas. So if you guys would come forward at this time. We'll come over here by the baptismal font just because that's what this is about. All right. Our Lord commanded baptism, saying to his disciples in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." And the holy apostles of the Lord wrote, "This promise is for you and your children, and baptism also now saves you." We learn from God's word that we're all conceived and born sinful and are in need of forgiveness. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, and who believes, and all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. In baptism, God puts his name on us with the water in his word. There is no doubt that we are surely with all that Christ has achieved for us by his saving death and resurrection. All right. So this morning, well, the reason we are here is to bear witness to the fact that little Silas has been baptized. And so was he baptized?
Yes.
And was he baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit?
He was.
Outstanding. And so because you were baptized, God, the Lord has put his name on you with the water and the word of baptism. You belong to him. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you new birth of water and the Spirit, has forgiven you all of your sin. May he continue to strengthen you with his grace to everlasting life. Amen. All right, can we pray?
Yes.
Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God and Father, we thank you, Lord, and praise you for graciously enlarging your family and having brought Silas, Lord, into the new birth of holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly ask that you would be with him as he has now become your child. Will you continue to keep him in his faith and in baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, that he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life and to praise and honor your name, and finally with all your saints obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And receive the Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. What a sweet boy. Thank you, Pastor. Blessings. Remembering baptism is such an essential thing. Because the devil loves to lie to us. The devil loves to tell us that we are not worthy. The devil loves to make us take our eyes off Jesus and off of what the Spirit has done and put our eyes instead on ourselves. And if we're looking at ourselves, we're in trouble because we're not very good. You know, I mean, the devil can point to the things that we have done and say, you know, if God loved you so much and if Jesus died for you, how could you still do these things? And if God has done all these things for you and you are still doing all these things, aren't you terrible? Aren't you in trouble? How could God love you? And we don't want to have our eyes on us. Our eyes always need to be on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who died for us, the one who gives us faith, the one who preserves us, the one who strengthens us, all by His incredible grace and mercy, not because of anything that we have done. Eyes are always on Jesus, right? Which is why we begin every worship service, remembering not just little Silas's baptism, but remembering our own baptism. The day that we have received the promise of eternal life through the water and the word and the promise that our God has given us. So please stand as we begin this worship service, repeating the name that was spoken over us in our baptism. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this incredible day that you have given us, Lord, another day to bring you honor and praise for all that you have done for us, Lord. The number of blessings that you have poured out on your people are just we can't count them. There's just too many. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be able to receive those blessings from you, especially the blessing of forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation through your Son, Jesus, who was born on that very first Christmas. Be with us this morning, Lord. Send your Spirit into our hearts and minds so that we may know you better and worship you as the God that you are. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now the gift of baptism is what connects us. It's that faith that we've received through baptism that connects us to God. And what we receive through that connection is forgiveness. And so it is appropriate at this time that we would bring our sins and lay them at the foot of the cross and receive the forgiveness that our God has earned and made available for us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praises to this God.
Joyful and triumphant, O God. Good morning. My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders, and it's my privilege to read the scriptures for you this morning. And our first reading comes from Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 7. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole real estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we are underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the time has fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading for our sermon today is Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. It's now time for the children's message, kids. If you guys would come forward at this time, Pastor Bill has the message for us this morning.
Do any of you children know Jesus?
I do.
You know Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? You see this wonderful little boy? He is too, isn't he? Yeah. Was Jesus little like this? When Jesus was little like this, did he have a beard? But Jesus had a beard. How come he didn't have a beard when he was little like this? Huh? Yeah. When Jesus was little like this, could he walk around? When Jesus grew up, he went walking around all over, teaching people about God's love. Could this little one go walking around? No. I bet this one can't even crawl yet. Not yet. Okay. So Jesus had to grow up, didn't he? Just like this little one's going to grow up. And it was in the care of his mama and daddy that he was going to grow up to be a man. And so Jesus had to grow up also, just like you have to grow up. And you depend on your mom and dad to teach you all about Jesus, all about God, so that you can have faith to believe and trust in him and be sure, confident, that you're going to be in heaven with God forever and ever. And that's a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given you and me by sending his son into the world. How great is God's love for you that he sent his son to live and die so you can live with him forever in heaven. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift you gave us, the gift of your Son, who could live and die so we can live with you forever. Keep our faith strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christian character, the attitude of Christ, is not an act, but it's a process. Not a sudden creation, but a development. The attitude of Jesus, or Christian character, grows and bears fruit like a tree. And we trust in God to give that tree the fruit of righteousness, that we may serve Him. Even Jesus had to grow in wisdom and knowledge, the patient care and unwearied cultivation necessary to develop the godly attitude of the Christian character needs to be found in the individual's teachers and in the individual himself. Parents are the primary teachers. And what a great responsibility is laid upon the parents to raise that little one to know Jesus, to know that God is with him always. The parents of Jesus could not understand this godly child, yet the record records Mary pondering, Mary meditating upon what all this meant as this child came into their life. And so it is, as Jesus continued to develop, he needed to be with God. He needed to be in God's house. He needed to be receiving the wonderful Word of God, because he had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in knowledge. The little baby was God. Yet, in the state of humiliation, he didn't know a lot. He didn't know all the things that God knows. When Jesus gave up his divinity for those 33 years, he gave up being God alone. Now, he was limited to an infant's understanding, limited to an infant's abilities. Here is God. He's the creator of all things. He has all this power, all this might, that he can do whatever he chooses to do. Only now it's all given up. Now he's just a little baby, totally dependent upon his parents. Totally dependent. We don't like to be dependent, do we? We want to be independent. So much so that we have a special day, the 4th of July, every year, where we celebrate independence. But independence is not our goal. Our goal is to be dependent on God, to be dependent on Him, to guide our lives, to be with us in every out of where we go and what we do and what we accomplish. He is the one that we turn to and say, God, help me. Keep me, Lord God, on the path where you want me to be. And so God gave us the Holy Bible. And he talks to us in the Holy Bible. You know, here's a kind of fun thing to do. We can talk to God and carry on a conversation with him as we get into the Psalms. Pick out a psalm, particularly the Psalms of David. And you read a verse and you pray. And you read the next verse and pray. You read the next verse and pray. And pretty soon you'll find yourself having a two-way conversation with God as he speaks to you in the psalm and you speak to him in your prayers, praising him for his wonder, praising him for the gifts that he has given to you and to me. Are we blessed? By all means, we are blessed. We are blessed to have a God who loves us so much. He wants us to be in touch with him. And so, that young Jesus, at the age of 12, went to Jerusalem with his parents to celebrate this Passover. His parents were obeying the law. God told them in the Old Testament there three times a year you had to go to the temple and attend the sacrifice and praise God, to praise God for what he was going to do. People always wonder, you know, what about those people in the Old Testament who lived before Jesus lived and died, before Jesus took the sins of the world away? How can they be saved? because they had faith in the coming Christ. Because all throughout the Old Testament, God kept saying, there will be someone to sit on the throne of David forever. There is somebody who is coming, who will be God, who will take away your sins, who will give salvation to the whole world. Even to Abraham, God says, your seed will be there to save all of mankind. He'd be a benefit to all of mankind. The promise of the coming Messiah. And now that Messiah has come in the form of that little infant. And you know, we see that little baby. What a wonderful, wonderful little person he is. When he looks at you with those big blue eyes. When he reaches up and touches my face. Oh, what a thrill. What a wonderful thing for a new life. But can that new life accomplish anything? When we stop and consider how God raised that child to grow at the age of 12, when he went to Jerusalem, where did he go? He went to his father's house. He went to his father's house, and there he was learning, and he was repeating back the things that he had learned. Amazing, the professors there at the temple, the teachers of the law, with his knowledge and his understanding, because he was growing. He was continuing to develop as God intended him to. And as he continued this wonderful gift, his parents were looking for him. They were worried. How many of you have lost a child in a department store? Many years ago, my wife and I and her sister and husband, we went to Toys R Us, and their little girl got lost. And we didn't know it. We were all visiting among ourselves and got back in the car and drove all the way back to Mayville, Wisconsin, and still didn't miss the little girl. We didn't know we had lost her. When we got there, the phone was ringing. It was Toys R Us. Do you have a little girl named Susan? Oh, dear, where is Susie? All of a sudden, we realized Susie wasn't with us. You know, we parents try to do the best job we can raising our kids. But you know, we're not perfect, are we? What a job Mary and Joseph had. What a responsibility they had to teach Jesus. What a responsibility you have as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles to be teaching your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. God's love for them, that they will know forever that God loves them, that they are important. And God is always looking for the lost child. He's always looking for the ones who drift away. And we pray for them. We pray for them continually. These are things that weigh heavy on our hearts. When one of our family turns away from the Lord. And we keep praying. And keep praying that God will send someone that they will listen to. Jesus knew that he had to learn. He knew he had to continue to develop. And so where did he go? He went to the temple. He went to the house of God. And there he was learning. His mom and dad were looking for him. They were worried. Yeah, they got back on the road to head back up to Nazareth. And after they had traveled a whole day, they went looking for Jesus among their relatives. And he wasn't there. Kind of like we were when we realized Susie wasn't with us. And now they're really afraid. Now they're worried. Where is their boy? Their 12-year-old. So they went all the way back, a day's journey back to Jerusalem, looking and searching. When they finally found him, where did they find him? In his father's house. And they said, Jesus, don't you realize how much your father and I were worrying? We were searching all over for you. And what was his response? Wist ye not that I be about my father's business? You and I are blessed. You and I come into this world with parents who taught us the Word of God. You and I came into this world so that we could grow and become Christian people. People who knew God, who knew of His glory, knew of His love for us. And we could impart that to our children. We could teach our children, bring them to church, bring them to Sunday school, bring them to catechism. Jesus was there, learning His Father's business. Wist ye not that I be about my Father's business? What is the Father's business? His business is His love for you. His love for you in that He sent Jesus into the world to earn for you the salvation that you don't deserve. The salvation that He wants you to have, that you will live with Him forever and ever. He cares about you. He cares about each and every person who has ever lived, who is living, or whoever will live. And this great love that God has for you is His business to see to it that you to see to it that you live with Him forever in heaven. You see, because we are sinners, God cannot abide sin. Therefore, the Bible tells us very clearly, you must be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, I can't be perfect. How in the world am I going to do that? I come into the world a sinner. But Jesus didn't. We inherit our sins, our sinful nature from our fathers. Jesus' Father is God. And so He didn't inherit a sinful nature. How blessed we are that He didn't, because He lived the life perfectly, obeying the law perfectly in your place and mine, so that He is earning for you and me the righteousness, the goodness of God, so that we can live with God forever and higher. This is how we have the perfection that we need to have. He took away our sins to the cross, so the sins are no longer remembered, no longer attributed to us, but to Jesus, who paid the price on the cross. To put it simply, He took away our badness and gave us His goodness so we could live with Him forever in heaven. How blessed we are to have a God who loves us so much, who wants us to be about His business. Do you remember the shepherds in Bethlehem? The angels came to them and told them, behold, today to you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. And so they went, and they looked, and they beheld that baby. And they knew, they trusted that God would raise up that infant to be the Savior of the world. So what did they do? They went out and told everybody they could see about the wonderful message the angels gave them and the wonderful thing they were able to behold. You and I need to be about our Father's business too. You and I need to be a part of that. You and I need to be in our Father's house receiving the message so we can share the message. I can preach one sermon. One sermon. But if each one of you carries that message out into the community, how many hundred sermons do we have then that go out into the world to accomplish the Father's business of winning souls for everlasting life? Let us truly appreciate what God has done and what he has done by inviting us to be a part of that salvific work. Let us indeed put on Christ and share him with the world, that others too may have that confidence that they're going to live forever with him in heaven. Let us be with him forever. Let us be one with him as we continue to serve him. For he is our God. He is our Redeemer, our Savior, our King. Keep him, O Lord God. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the love that you have given to us. So much love that we cannot even begin to understand it. Keep us, O Lord God, always marveling at your glory, at your holiness, that your kingdom truly come to us eternally, that eternally we live with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we confess our faith. We're going to use the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed today. You know, the first article, we hear about how God created us and this world and preserves it, holds it together, and provides us with everything that we need, as Luther says, to support this body and life. And in the second article, we hear of how Jesus came into the world and rescued us, dying on the cross and rising again, and that we are looking forward to him coming to take us again on the last day to be with him forever. And the third article describes how it is that we can have this relationship with God, what draws us into this relationship and where God is taking us. So let us confess together. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much that you have given us this day to be in your presence, to receive the forgiveness of sins that we so desperately need, to be taught from your word, Lord, to hear the message of grace and forgiveness, your unending love, and your activity in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, Lord. Continue to draw us ever closer in a relationship with you. Help us to love you and trust you better every day so that we can live in the peace, Lord, that you have created for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who are serving us, Lord, those who didn't get Christmas off, the people, the firefighters, the police officers, the those who are serving in the hospitals. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those people, Lord, as they provide safety and security for us. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, bless their families, and encourage them, Lord, in their faith as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the work that you have done in our lives, Lord, in the lives of our families. We thank you for the gatherings that we have had over Christmas and the memories, Lord, that we have gained and gathered. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow the bonds of relationship within our families. Help us to love each other more so that we can properly reflect the love that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to be able to speak love and peace to all those around us, Lord, especially the ones in our family. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all that are sick, Lord, that are recovering from surgery, that are facing medical issues of any kind, Lord. Lord, you know all the situations. You know all the circumstances. And Lord, you are more aware than we are of what we need in these times of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would provide for us according to your rich wisdom and incredible mercy, helping us, Lord, to grow into a closer relationship of trust with you. All these things we bring to you today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Stay.
My dear friends, as we have received once again the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on the basis of the promise that our God has given us in this gift, we know that we have received in this gift forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And as that is true, as that is as true as more true than the things we experience in life, more true than the sin that we see in ourselves, is the forgiveness that God has given us. And because of that, we get to depart from here in peace. And so, receive our Lord's blessing as we go this way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing together the final hymn. I don't even have enough announcements to make you sit down, so just hang on for a second. Tomorrow is the last deadline to sign up for the New Year's Eve noon party for children. down in the gym. But if you have children and forget to sign up, come anyway. We'll still take you. But it is nice to give Lauren some idea of how many people are coming. All right, and with that, the other thing is that my father has a Bible study after the service today, correct? Okay, very good. Thank you, Dad, for preaching for me today. I so appreciate not having that on my brain this week when I was trying to do other things. So blessings with all of you guys. I hope that you guys had an absolutely wonderful, blessed Christmas, and I pray that God would continue to bless you into the new year.